We couldn't stop him because we were the ones making him do it. It wasn't the nurse that was forcing him. It was our need that was making him push himself slowly up from sitting, his big hands driving down on the leather chair arms, pushing him up, rising and standing like one of those moving picture zombies, obeying orders beamed at him from 40 masters. It was us that had been making him go on for weeks, keeping him standing long after his feet and legs had given out. Weeks of making him wink and grin and laugh and go on with his act long after his humor had been parched dry between two electrodes. We made him stand and hitch up his black shorts like they were horsehide chaps and push back his cap with one finger like it was a 10-gallon Stetson, slow, mechanical gestures, and when he walked across the floor you could hear the iron in his bare heels ring sparks out of the tile. Only at the last, after he'd smashed through that glass door, her face swinging around with terror forever ruining any other look she might ever try to use again, screaming when he grabbed for her and ripped her uniform all the way down the front, screaming again when the two nippled circles started from her chest and swelled out and out, bigger than anybody had ever even imagined, warm and pink in the light. Only at the last, after the officials realized that the three black boys weren't going to do anything but stand and watch, and they would have to beat him off without their help, doctors and supervisors and nurses prying those heavy red fingers out of the white flesh of her throat as if they were her neck bones, jerking him backward off of her with a loud heave of breath. Only then did he show any sign that he might be anything other than a sane, willful, dogged man performing a hard duty that finally just had to be done, like it or not. He gave a cry. At the last, falling backward, his face appearing to us for a second upside down before he was smothered on the floor by a pile of white uniforms, he let himself cry out. A sound of cornered animal fear and hate and surrender and defiance, that if you ever trailed coon or cougar or lynx is like the last sound the treed and shot and falling animal makes as the dogs get him, when he finally doesn't care anymore about anything but himself and his dying. I hung around another couple of weeks to see what was to come. Everything was changing. Seafelt and Fredrickson signed out together against medical advice, and 2 days later another three acutes left, and six more transferred to another ward. There was a lot of investigation about the party on the ward and about Billy's death, and the doctor was informed that his resignation would be accepted, and he informed them that they would have to go the whole way and can him if they wanted him out. The big nurse was over in medical for a week, so for a while we had the little Jap nurse from Disturbed running the ward. That gave the guys a chance to change a lot of the ward policy. By the time the big nurse came back, Harding had even got the tub room back open and was in there dealing blackjack himself, trying to make that airy, thin voice of his sound like McMurphy's auctioneer bellow. He was dealing when he heard her key hit the lock.